Good morning and welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting of July 27th, 2020. First thing is the approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change under my name. We can strike the recognition of Brent Workman. We're going to reschedule that. Mr. Workman has a conflict this morning.
Okay. Entertained a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We have the minutes of July 13th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. I think we also have the minutes of the 29th of June to make an amendment. Mrs. Green.
I need to make an amendment for the minutes to reflect that the donation from my grant to the Woodbridge Little League baseball team was actually $5,000, not $2,500, okay, as indicated.
Motion, Mrs. Green.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We have motion carried. Bring a correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Hearing none. Now it's time for public comment. And in mind the public wants to address council, you have 3 minutes to address us something that council has some control over or interest in. Anyone in the audience? Anyone in the audience? Operator, would you check online public comments, please?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Next thing is our consent agenda. We have one item, the use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement for the 7-Eleven in Bridgeville. Anybody have any questions, concerns about that at all? Okay, it'll stand approved. Matter of fact, I did my motion on that.
Just I'll make sure that motion.
Motion, Mr. Riley, Mr. Hudson, to approve the consent agenda. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We have motion carried. Mr. Lawson, Library Advisory Board appointment.
Thank you, Mr. President. We do have one vacancy on the County Library Advisory Board that we will consider today. It's my understanding that Mr. Hudson would like to appoint Ms. Kathy Green to fill that vacancy. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the appointment of Ms. Kathy Green to the Sussex County Library Advisory Board effective immediately until such time that the term expires in June 2024.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Hudson makes a motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We have motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. County Administrator's Report for July 27th, 2021. Item 1, the Delaware State Police Year-to-Date Activity Report for June 2021 is attached, listing the number of violent crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 193 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of June. Item 2, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion. Coastal Corner, Fred Hudson Property, effective July 1st. Marsh Farm Estates, Phase 4B, effective July 15th. And Americana Bayside, Weedman Parcel, Phase 3, construction record, effective July 22nd. A reminder, the council will not meet next week on August 3rd. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on August 10th at 10 a.m. Next, it's with sadness that we note the passing of County Pensioner Ray Webb on Sunday, July 18th. Mr. Webb began his career with Sussex County in August 1977 and retired as the facilities manager in January 2010 with 32 years of service. We want to extend our condolences to the Webb family. It's also with sadness we note the passing of County Pensioner Joanna Johnson on Monday, July 19th. Ms. Johnson began her career with Sussex County in November 1979 and retired as a permit tech in November 2002 with 23 years of service. We'd also like to extend our condolences to the Johnson family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Randy Norman, presentation discussion regarding the Sussex County Housing Trust Fund. Good morning, young lady.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. Okay, so just some background. Most of you have heard this before, but in 2018, we underwent all of the public hearings and related to the comprehensive plan update, and there was a lot of public engagement, and there was a lot of input related to the lack of affordable housing in Sussex County. The Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as County Council, was extremely supportive of finding solutions to all those concerns, and so we received approval from Council in October of 2018 to do an RFP for an outside consultant to do a study for us. In 2019, we contracted with LSA Planning, and they did a three-part deliverable study for us, which consisted of a pretty significant analysis of Sussex County, as well as recommendations on how to create housing opportunities here. So their final recommendations contain three primary strategies. The first was to modify the zoning code to promote housing affordability in growth areas identified in the comp plan. The second was to establish a housing trust fund. And the third was to preserve the existing supply of affordable housing. So today I wanted to just focus on strategy two, but we will be back in just a couple of weeks with a proposal to tackle number one. And if you recall, this was actually approved. The trust fund component initiative was approved by council in last year's budget, but because of COVID, it was just tabled until this year, and you voted in June to approve that as part of the 2022 budget. So why are we recommending a housing trust fund? One, it's because it fills the gap between the cost of producing market rate housing and producing below market rate housing for lower income households, especially for those earning 50% of area median income and below. So for one person, that's $26,300. And for a family of four, that's about $37,550. We also can use that to leverage other funding. It's my understanding that other funders give bonus points or priority to organizations and applicants that have local government support and buy-in. And also, we would offer greater flexibility with fewer regulations than other federal or state finance agencies. So what we're proposing is a pilot program of $500,000, and there are two parts of the trust fund. The first would be a development loan fund, which is $400,000. The second component would be direct home buyer assistance, which is $100,000. And we would develop, with your assistance, an advisory board to just promote some public transparency of the process. Have several folks from internal county positions, but also some advocates and financial institution representatives to assist with the process. So for the development loan fund, this is basically where qualifying nonprofit affordable housing providers and developers apply to the county to assist with the creation of affordable housing and various ventures related to affordable housing. This could be homelessness, tax credit properties, preservation, rehabilitation, as long as they meet specific criteria that we would set up in the application process. The funds would be available once a year, similar to the Human Service Grant Program that we offer. There's a maximum award per application. We're proposing up to $100,000 per project or $10,000 per unit with a total cap of $100,000. We are proposing a repayment of principal to kind of initiate a revolving fund. It'd be a five-year loan with 0% interest, and the projects would be required to have deed restrictions to ensure long-term affordability, depending on whether it's a home buyer project or a rental project. And again, the advisory board would assist with reviewing and evaluating the applications just to make sure that they are that they reflect the program goals and objectives that the county set up and approved. We hope that this would assist local nonprofits with pre-development costs like engineering or design fees or capital costs like site improvement surveys or studies. Just these larger sort of things that are upfront costs that a lot of these smaller nonprofits don't necessarily have all the time. And so we hope that this would expand and create affordable housing opportunities for households that earn less than 80% of AMI, but we would give priority or bonus points to folks or to organizations that earn, that are tackling households that are making below 50% of AMI. Okay, and then the home buyer assistance component is actually modeled off of an existing program that we run out of the Community Development Housing Office. When we received Neighborhood Stabilization Program stimulus funding almost a decade ago now, we did something very similar. So we already have a lot of the necessary documents and partnerships with local housing counseling agencies that ideally would help send us referrals for income qualified applicants. And so that would be also available just year round, first come, first serve. And we would disperse those funds through the attorney or settlement agent. It wouldn't go directly to the buyer, but rather applied right at settlement. So that would go towards down payment and closing cost assistance. And again, that's $100,000 for the first pilot year. And it's considered a soft second mortgage. It's prorated and no interest. So for $10,000, it's a $10,000 loan with a 10-year recapture. So for every year, one-tenth of the loan is forgiven. And recapturing it would imply that if they sold the home in 5 years, for example, they would owe us 50% of that investment, so $5,000. And this would assist households up to 120% of AMI. It's again, just to give people that help with down payment and closing costs. It can be several thousand dollars, I'm sure that you know, and we just wanna make sure that our residents can access homeownership. And kind of the next steps, I think we discussed just reaching out, having some sort of a forum with advocates and potential applicants just to get their feedback on this concept as well as from you, and then come back and really establish a framework for the trust fund, get your final approval, and then appoint our advisory board and make funding available. Our goal is to have this available at the beginning of next year. And hopefully that would be in line with other finance opportunities for applicants. So you may have any questions.
This would be next calendar year?
Right, like so in January of 22 January. Is ideally when I think we would shoot for.
And who appoints the board?
I'm sorry?
The council appoints the board?
I believe that's how it would, yes, we can certainly offer recommendations or work with you we would have some internal staff members, and then we just want to make sure there's no conflict with potential applicants, obviously, for local housing advocates that may actually apply to the fund.
Right.
So that's something.
Would there be any compensation or expenses for the board?
I don't think so. Just we don't normally, we just get them to volunteer.
Yeah, just ask.
Yeah.
Do you have this a copy of this that I can?
I do. Yes, I will send that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Any questions?
So we're looking.
Mrs. Green.
Thank you. The loan would be $100,000. So would the goal be that would be their only mortgage, so that they could afford that? Is that realistic?
For the home buyer side of things.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're needing this assistance, can you realistically buy something in the $100,000 price?
So, sorry, that was not clear. So what our plan was actually to have it broken down. So we would be able to assist 10 households with $100,000. So we would offer just $10,000 soft second mortgage. So they would still be required to get their primary financing. And then this would just kind of take care of all that upfront closing cost. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, several thousand dollars typically.
So I was looking at that this was the mortgage.
I'm sorry. Yes, that was unclear.
The math wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
That yes. Still is good. That helps somebody that couldn't otherwise do it.
Right. And yeah, they can typically sustain, they can get their own financing, they can sustain the payments, but that large chunk of change up front is sometimes difficult.
Yeah. I'll ask you a quick question.
Shaver.
Have you given any thought to the lender's objections to them utilizing that money for down payment, closing costs?
So we've had, with the other program that we ran with this, we just typically had to work with each lender individually to have them approve the documents in advance and sign off. So we had probably 5 to 7 lenders that were approved and comfortable that a lot of folks worked with down here. So we would kind of do the same thing, I think.
Questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Be back. Thank you.
Have a good day, Randy. Okay, we're going to jump on the agenda. It's not quite time for public hearing. Mr. Medlars. Come right on down. We'll do a couple of your things. Western Sussex Area Transition Agreement.
For the last time, Mr. President.
For the last time.
First, let us recognize the mayor and the manager of the town of Greenwood in the attendance.
Yes.
In attendance. So we've been here a few weeks ago, I guess about six weeks ago, with the initial transition agreement with the town of Greenwood. And you know, that's the second agreement we have, because we do have the one with Bridgeville. We actually have two with Bridgeville. And so Bridgeville's a date back to 2018, predates a couple of our council members. And Greenwood got a somewhat later start, and we had a presentation to the public, which the mayor and council had requested, and then the town initiated the first process for a transition agreement. That agreement, as you can see in the memo, was touched by the mayor and by us first, and then the mayor and council thereafter. Mayor and council added a couple of items. One we resolved outside of the agreement, which does not to be addressed. The other one is the development agreement with entities which either have approved lots or established subdivisions in the town of Greenwood or have been in the preliminary review process all before June 30th. So that's all confirmed. As a matter of fact, Janet confirmed to me the last one on the list. So that one was again touched by the mayor and council a few days ago on the 14th. And the mayor and council requests that we, Sussex County Council, look at the amendment. It's called an addendum. Now, when you look at it, there's an overlap. So don't get confused. Three of the properties were already included in our original approval, so they should not be considered. Two of the other four, the president and I already had discussed, because they were single individual lots. They really didn't even have to be on here. Permits were issued before. But mayor and council asked to be added just for clarity purposes. And it's really, we're really talking about the last two items on the list. So they were confirmed, accepted before June 30th. Mayor and council approved it. Ms. Jennings and I, before she left for her vacation, briefly discussed it. And we support the mayor and council's request, hopefully drawing a line and say we have all the transitions arranged. Mayor, do you want to add any words to this, or you're good?
I'm good.
You're good, okay. Then
you have a motion.
We do have a motion, since we, but we, this being the president, I requested the mayor's presence, so he is here. Very much appreciated. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering and Finance Departments that the Sussex County Council approve addendum number 1 to the sewer operations and transition agreement between Sussex County and the town of Greenwood.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mrs. Green.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Rada.
Yes.
We have the
yes, motion carried.
We have the original documents. The mayor will sign before he leaves, and we will get the president's signature on there. The New Road Estates Pavement Project, that's a 96 project, Chapter 96 project, as per the county code. It's a great example of how it's supposed to work. It's also a good bad example that the same amount of work is pretty much needed, whether you have 9 lots or 90 lots. So it sort of shows you all the steps we go through to make it happen. This worked out really well. We had a couple of good changes, value engineering, and as you can see, the various milestones, how it came about and how it's now fully completed. And we have a closeout change order increasing just the unit quantities, has nothing to do with anything else but the quantity adjustment for $1,700, closing out a project which we believe all the citizens are happy, we're happy, and it's a good product for everybody.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yes. Yes, everybody's
please,
happy.
Please read your motion.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department to change order number 2 for contract T21-08, New Roads Estate Pavement Improvements be approved for the final balancing, increasing the total contract amount by $1,790.64, and that substantial completion be granted effective July 1 with retainage release in accordance with the contract documents.
Thank you, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
Riley.
Yes.
I will yet motion carried. Thank you, sir. Parker, you're up next, sir. Ocean outfall inspection.
I'll stay. That's sort of our joint project, so I'll stay for the backup.
Do you have to? Do you have to?
No, I don't have to. I'll sit down.
Morning, Mr. President.
Morning.
Council members. We did present to you last, oops, I am on top of the keyboard here. Sorry about that. Presented to you November of last year, the bids for the inspection of our ocean outfall system. Recommended and received approval for award of the project, which is not that, to TNG Marine for $69,250. At that time, they recommended to wait until the springtime. We were interested in having optimal marine viewing conditions, so we ultimately waited until the spring to perform the inspection. The inspection was completed in the first 2 weeks of May, and after a few rounds of report editing, we received the final report on the 2nd of this month. I'd say in general, the report inspection reports turned out very well based on diver observations. The visibility conditions were in fact good, which is what we wanted. All visible portions of the outfall system, including the force main, diffuser pipes, pile vents, as well as the manhole structures were reported to be in good condition. So that's very good news for us. Based on viewing the video and feedback from the diver, the one manhole that one thing we added this 5 year round is we wanted to access one of our manholes, which hadn't been done in the past. And that's basically due to the age of the system. So the diver that accessed the interior of the manhole reported that the structure was intact. Really wasn't any marine growth, and there was little to no fouling or sedimentation at the bottom, which is actually our force main. So again, very good news. So the report was very good for us.
How big is that pipe that they crawl into?
What's that?
How big? What's the diameter of that pipe?
It is, I want to say it's 5 feet in diameter. So they drop a camera down. So all we have is the camera doing 360 as it's going down.
Okay.
So the diver wasn't physically in there.
Oh,
so
okay.
But 5 foot diameter pipe.
I thought they were diving around in that thing.
No, they opted not to. So we're good.
Smart
with
move.
We're good with the video at this point. We have a lot of video. So some minor repairs were noted as part of the report. Some missing damaged bonding wires, some anodes that were worn. Things that come up on past inspections, pretty routine things. So as the recommended actions, which is in your memo, basically broken down into three categories. We do want to take care of the minor repairs. We also, with the repairs, which is required by permit, we do want to remove the remaining blind flanges at the diffuser ends. There's two of them remaining, so we want to remove those to make sure we have full system capacity as we move forward. So that'll be done. The diver also noted secondarily that they observed sheet piling that was used for the original construction of the outfall system in the late 70s, extending above the seabed. They did not do any measurements for us, unfortunately. They also didn't get any locations of where the sheet piling was. However, the diver did note that the sheet piling may be within the surf zone, which is somewhat concerning for us. So with this information presented to us, we do want to put another set of eyes, diver eyes, on the sheet piling. When we do the repairs, we want to have someone go down and perform some measurements, how high the sheet piling is, and more importantly, where it is with respect to the shoreline.
That was a big wall back then.
Yes.
When that big wall was up there, it was that corrugated stuff.
Yes, on two sides.
I used to swim around it all the time.
Oh, did you?
And surf around it, yeah.
Okay.
And that was huge.
That's what you don't want to do, actually, is swim around that sheet piling. So that's the concerning thing, is we want to know where this is, if it's been exposed over the years, and once we get more information on it, we'll determine if any, you know, actions are needed based on the perceived hazard to you know, whatever swimmers or divers or whatever it may be. So we want to take that step. The third action is a little more complicated, but it involves the corrosion protection system of the pipeline itself. It's worthy to note that the system was built in 77. At that time, the designers noted that the corrosion protection system has a 40-year shelf life or design life. So if we all do the math, we are at a point where we're several years beyond that. So that's concerning for us. Proper function of the cathodic protection devices obviously is a critical element to the integrity of the system. So essentially, corrosion control system consists of three separate conductors that are actually attached to the pipeline buried beneath the sea. And the conductors serve as the primary negative structure connection, which completes the cathodic protection circuit. Very important. So if that circuit is broke, that's an issue for us. Now, what we've learned with some of the recent inspections is that we've been getting higher than unusual resistance readings on two of the circuits, which is an indication that we may have potential failure or imminent failure. So that would mean we would have one circuit left. So that's a big deal for us. So what we've done recently is we've conducted within the last month some preliminary consultation with a subject matter expert in the field of marine corrosion control. This individual is employed by GHD, which happens to be one of our on-call consultants, which is good. So some of the preliminary feedback that has come back, two things, is they're recommending that we replace the on-land rectifier that's right next to Sea Colony, so that's an aging facility that should be replaced in the near future. In the larger category, they're also preliminary recommending that we bury a completely new negative conductor system running along our pipelines. So really at this point, due to the complexities involved, we feel, the engineering department feels, that a sort of a design build approach is appropriate for this. So we already had the subject matter expert on board for the design end, and we feel that we want to engage an expert matter in the field of marine construction. And what we would do is work in the design build approach with having them work in conjunction to identify really what are the technical solutions that we need to be establishing, installation methods that we are dealing with, and just as important, what are the associated costs. So we would do that in collaborative fashion with our team.
Any questions, the council?
When do you think you'll be doing the inspection on the sheet piling?
Well, I think the goal would be, if we can do everything at one time with, and especially underwater services would be the marine contractor we would work with, so they have the divers and the expertise to do repairs. So we would want them to do the repairs and the diving at the same time, just for efficiency purposes. So it could be as early as late fall. More than likely, it may extend into early next year, again, for the same reasons, to have, you really don't want to be doing diving in the late fall, winter, for, you know, for the same reason we waited for the inspection. So it's likely that this may push into early next spring.
Okay, any more questions?
I have one quick
question.
What is it, fragments of the stuff that was put in the ground that's exposed now out of the sand?
We believe it's the top of the sheet piling that was used to produce the cofferdam that was not cut off to the surface. They may or may not cut it off down to the seabed, but the concern is, you know, the seabed's doing this over years, so
yeah.
It may have been not exposed 40 years ago, and now it is.
Well, that was at least 12 to 15 feet above sea level when I was out there as a kid, that, you know, that corrugated
seabed level?
No, it's the water level.
Oh, right, right, to produce, right.
When they were putting that thing in, and I'm wondering how far it was cut off below the sea level.
Yeah, we don't have the records of how far they cut that down. I mean, it may have just been to a few feet within the seabed or to the seabed or a couple feet below, but we know it's still there. We just don't know how much and where it is exposed, and that's, I think, you know, I think the one thing we think happened is The sheet piling's been there all along.
Oh, yeah.
We have not been made aware that it's been seen in past inspections. It may just be that this is probably the one inspection where we've had the most optimum viewing conditions, and it just wasn't observed before, and now it has been. But the fact that it's been presented to us, you know, we want to make sure we do the right thing and figure out what we're dealing with.
Certainly.
Yep.
More questions to council?
If we have any recommendations for divers, I mean, we can make a motion for that as well.
I'm old. No, I'm out.
I'm going to fly the pole. Not very big fella. Thank you, sir.
Got have a motion?
Yeah.
Yep. Be it moved based upon the recommendations of the Sussex County Engineering Department and based on recent inspection results of the ocean outfall system, that a design build team consisting of GHD Group and Specialty Underwater Services be established to develop a detailed scope and cost for the required system repairs for an initial not to exceed cost of $25,000.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be a motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good day. All right, let's move back on our agenda. Mr. Moore, to the advertised 10:30 public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on the Warrington Road extension of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. Mr. Ashman will give a brief presentation as to what is planned. After that presentation, County Council will have an opportunity to question and get additional information. Subsequent to that, any member of the public that's here that would like to comment on that or question that may do so, but coming forward to the podium, give us your name and address, and then pose the question or make your comments. Also, anyone that's listening remotely will also have an opportunity to opine on the matter. Mr. Ashman.
Thank you. Again, this is for the proposed Warrington Road expansion. Council granted permission to prepare and post notices for the public hearing on June the 15th of 2021. The engineering department had received a request from the property owners of parcel 334-12-117 and 118, and this annexation also includes two adjacent parcels as well. All four parcels will receive sanitary sewer service with the installation of a low pressure line installed along Warrington Road with the use of individual grinder pumps. The project will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. And the engineering department posted notices on June 28th and advertised the week of July 12th and July 19th. To date, we have received one call from one of the property owners, Mr. David Walters, and we provided him with some updated SCC information, assessment rates, and service charges, and he questioned about the mandatory hookup and the timeline for connection in discussions with the county engineer. State usually requires 120 days for connection. He's willing to extend that to a year, and if the county does invest the money for the system, there will be a mandatory hookup.
Any questions?
Any questions, council?
Per the code.
Okay. If not, is there any member of the public here today that would like to speak on this or have any questions? Sir, would you come forward? Give us your name and address, please.
Good morning, Council. My name is Mike Fannin. This is my wife, Tina. We live at 34930 Warrington Road. Last year, our well was contaminated. We had to hook up the Tidewater. My septic is 30 years old. It's showing signs of failing. We have to plunge toilets sometimes several times a month, and we're asking to extend the sewer so that we can hook up immediately.
So you aren't in this?
Yeah, the second parcel.
You are in it. Okay.
118.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So you're asking council to favorably act on this?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Is there anyone else that would like?
I do want to add that all around us has sewer,
yeah,
and it should have been hooked up a long time ago, so that others could have timely hooked up instead of installing a new septic system. And I don't think this is the first request that's been through. Whoever does it, Denrec or whatever, but just wanted to add that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you both,
sir.
My name is CJ Bailey. I am at property 117. We are also in a very similar situation, Mr. Fannin. Our system is 80 years old approximately, and we have it pumped on a quarterly basis now. We're more of a cesspool than any kind of septic system. We purchased the property in 1992, and we were originally charged sewer assessment of $1,000, but were later sent that money back just to kind of prove that we were interested in it.
Sure.
In 1992. But again, our same situation as Mr. Fannin. We would like to be hooked up to a sewer system just so we don't have to put a new system in. It would be much easier for us to have this installed.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Is there anyone else in the room that would like to start?
Come on down, sir. Come right on down.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning. Good morning.
My name's David Walters, and I am also a property owner on Warrington Road, 34948 Warrington Road. And my concern is I'm the one who spoke with the engineering department yesterday, Mr. Hans and Mr. Ashman. And my main concern is I don't have an objection to the sewer system. I think that it could be beneficial to everyone. But I am opposed to the mechanical pressure system as to the gravity-fed system. There's several reasons that I am, and the information that I had first obtained was that there were about 75,000 customers on this system, and about 3,000 of them are hooked up mechanically. So it's about 4% that are hooked up mechanically versus the gravity system. The opposition that I have against that is, one, that it's a higher expense for the homeowner to install the mechanical system, the pressurized system. You have the electric line that has to be run. In my particular case, it's a 30-amp circuit, 180 feet underground, and that's the homeowner's expense. There's other operational concerns, which are minimal as far as the electric goes, you know, during the course of a year to run the pumps and grinders and whatnot. But there's definitely a higher maintenance issue with the mechanical system and the upkeep expenses compared to the gravity-fed system. Over the course of time, for both the homeowner and the state, the maintenance expenses will be more. There's a much higher probability of failure with power outages. When your power goes out, your sewer system stops working. So that's a problem in itself. And there could also, with mechanical issues such as grinder pumps, lift pumps, and whatnot, they're mechanical, and mechanical parts can break. And when they break, you're going to have a failure. So that is the biggest thing. Now, it was my understanding, if I'm clear on this, that it's not that a gravity system could not be installed or wouldn't work in R4 lots. It's that easements were required, and that we've chosen to go with the path of least resistance, which would be to put the mechanical pressurized system in. Now, as far as I know, and I could be mistaken, we know what was required for the gravity system, that we were requiring easements, but as far as I know, that avenue hasn't been traveled. We haven't even seen if we could get the permissions or the easements. And I would truly like to see that avenue traveled. And if it's exhausted, then go to the pressurized system. But I think the gravity system is a much, you know, better system as far as it goes, and that would be precedented by the fact that we only have 4% of the customers that are hooked up that use a mechanical system. If the mechanical system was better, then everybody would be hooked up to a mechanical system. So thank you for your time.
Sure. No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Metal, yes. Argument, one of them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to speak?
Yeah.
Do we have another comments?
Yes. Is there anyone else that would like to speak that's in the room? Not Mr. Medlar.
It is correct that I, as well as Mr. Ashman, spoke with Mr. Walters, and we did have this discussion, and he quoted all the items correctly. So it's a matter of the one thing Mrs. Fannin said was, you know, we add people onto sewer extensions by request. So this island was not created as per our doing. It was created by circumstance. It's not something we laid out to create a sewer island. But to address Mr. Walter's comments is we would need four easements, and one of it is required to get from the HOA, which is always a challenge because you're dealing with an organization who really has no horse in this race, other than we're digging up that road. So I'm not objecting to it. However, it's you know, like we're talking about four properties, four hookups, four easements. It falls on Mr. Ashman and my shoulder to get them. Sure. Because, you know, we're happy to have a gravity system. If the residents get the easements, hey, fantastic. Tell us when you're ready. So it comes down to, this is a project which will not receive federal funding. We will use county funds. So we're trying to make it as cost effective as possible, and we make it as fast as possible. But if the council asks me to ask the county engineering department to explore the gravity option and report back when it's exhausted or not, we'd be happy to do so. Stand ready to hear your directive.
Mr. Medlars, did you indicate that there would be individual easements from the property as well as an easement from the HOA?
Yes, the properties, as you can see from left to right, the one on the furthest to the left is not requiring an easement. The other three properties would have to grant an easement as well as the HOA.
Okay.
And we would obviously dig up the road.
So that would entail digging up the road at that point?
Yeah,
I mean, the easement for that.
As I said, the only benefit for that option is we wouldn't need a Delta permit.
Correct.
There's always a bright side.
Right. So that's a big good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in the room? Oh, Mr. Ashman, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just preparing.
Is there anyone that, operator, can you check, see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
At this time, we have no one on the line.
Okay,
thank you. If Mr. Ashman, did you have anything else to add, or are you just ready for your motion
just
at this
ready
point,
for my
or resolution?
When they get me to
and Mr. President, this time,
if we want them to investigate the idea of the easements, how would we?
I would suggest then that you would close the public hearing, which is over, but keep the record open for that specific purpose.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it's really not part of the resolution as
no.
to how we do our system.
Correct.
It's just a recommendation
Correct.
From you or
Correct.
Guidance from you.
So we can close the public record?
Yes.
Close the public hearing.
I close the public hearing.
Yes.
Leave the record open.
Yes.
Which we'll deal with that in a second or two.
Yes.
Right. And then we can pass the resolution to do it and
yes.
then direct them to how to figure a way how to do it.
Yes. And actually, because his resolution does not indicate the method, it
right.
can come back and just a report to the council. The resolution was passed. Here's what we explored to do and give a report.
Yeah,
yes.
So
can we get Mr. Medlars to give us a wild guesstimate on how long that might take to get that answer?
are these properties in this HOA?
No, they're not.
Okay.
So. Dealing with a number of HOAs, my best estimate would be 6 months to get this approval from them.
Yeah, sometimes I know it takes a while to get some from most people. Not these people, but HOAs in general.
Do the homeowners have that luxury?
As I said, I mean, we'd be happy to do it. It's not a matter that we are objecting to doing it. It is not as we can. We have later on in the executive session a number. These issues can get very complicated.
And we can't go in there and bother that road of the HOAs until they give us approval.
I understand.
we've actually investigated some of the easements already, and that's sort of what has led us to the pressure system at this point. But we can dig further.
So we'd be happy to report back.
Prepared to vote on the resolution as it's.
Yeah, I mean, and what we'd like them to investigate if mm-hmm. we can get an easement.
Well, reach out and see what the HRA has to say.
Yeah.
Can we?
If they throw hands up, or whatever. I mean, well, we're only because one of the people who's going to be paying for this is the one brought this up. So I think we owe it to them to say, can we do it or can't we do it? That's just that simple. But I wouldn't drag it on for months and months and months. I mean, HOA doesn't want to deal with this, and Not much you can do.
Can we put a date certain, 60 days?
Sure.
If we don't hear back, we move forward?
We could do, sure.
So we're moving forward with creating the district.
Right.
We will report back within 60 days on the means and methods.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
That's correct. Okay, we're going to close public hearing, leave the record open for them to investigate how they're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And report back to us in 60 days is fine if you can do that.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, you have a resolution to read, sir?
I do. This is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels 134-12-117, 118, 118.01, and 118.02 on the south side of Warrington Road. Parcels are located in the Lewis-Rehoboth River 100, Sussex County, Delaware, and recorded in the Office of Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. Asmey, you stay right up here. You're next. Marlin Cove Annexation.
All right. This is for an expansion of the Unified Sanitary Sewer District in the Fenwick Island area. The engineering department has received a request from Vista Design Incorporated on behalf of their client, Atlantic Building Associates, owners and developers of a project known as Marlin Cove. The project is proposed at 49 units. Two of the three parcels required for this are already in the district. They are asking that we include parcel 533-19-8.01. The project will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection and subject to a use of existing infrastructure agreement. We would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing on this annexation.
Read your motion, please, sir.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Marlin Cove expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, parcel 533-19.00-8.01. Presented on July 27, 2020.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
This is for an expansion of our Mulberry Knoll area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. And we have received a request from Morris and Ritchie Associates on behalf of their clients MKR Land Investment LLC. The project is proposed at 319 units. Project will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection and subject to a use of existing infrastructure agreement. We would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing on this annexation at this time.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Scenic Manor expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcel 334-18.00-43.00 as presented on July 27, 2021.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mr. Jennings, grant requests.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. The first grant request is Western Sussex Chamber of Commerce. They're requesting $1,000 for the Broad Creek Bike and Brew fundraiser. Last grant awarded this organization was $500 from Mr. Vincent in 2020, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Somebody make a motion to grant that for my account.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 to the Western Sussex Chamber of Commerce for the Broad Creek Bike and Brew fundraiser from my council bank account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one is the Town of Ellendale is requesting $4,000 for the completion of the town park renovations, particularly the playground equipment. The last grant awarded to this organization was $12,913, which was $8,913 from Mr. Schaefer, $1,500 from Ms. Green, and $2,500 from Mr. Riley. Ms. Green and Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Okay, whoever.
Is it a motion?
No, my name, I need a motion. How much are you going to grant?
Okay, I'll grant the $4,000.
Okay, motion, Mrs. Green, second, Mr. Schaefer, to grant $4,000 to Town Ellendale for park playground renovations out of Mrs. Green's Council MAC account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one. Town of Georgetown is requesting $3,000 for their National Night Out event expenses. Last grant awarded this organization was $2,500 from Mr. Wilson for a Race Street project in 2020. Ms. Green placed on the agenda.
Mrs. Green?
I'll make a motion for the
$2,500. Motion, Mrs. Green, to grant $2,500 from her Council MAC account to the Town of Georgetown for Night Out event expenses. Second.
Sorry.
Mr. Schaefer? Question on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. Next one's AIDS Delaware, Inc. is requesting $1,350 for the AIDS Walk Delaware 2021 fundraiser. Last grant awarded this organization was $1,000, which was $500 for Mr. Burton, $500 for Mr. Hudson in 2020. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
I move to donate $500 from my Council MAC account to the AIDS Delaware.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
I'll donate $500. From the third district.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,000 to the AIDS Delaware Incorporated for the AIDS Walk Delaware fundraiser, being $500 from Mr. Hudson's Council Bank account and $500 from Mr. Schaefer's Council Bank account. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
And Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, and the last one is Lower Sussex Little League is requesting $500 for travel expenses for the softball Eastern Regionals in Connecticut. Last grant award of this organization was $3,000 in 2017, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley?
I'd like to make that motion to grant $500. I'd like to note that Lower Sussex still has one of their girls' teams alive in the playoffs.
That's so great.
Congratulations.
That's great. Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $500 from Mr. Riley's Council MAC account to Lower Sussex Little League for Eastern Regional traveling expenses. Questions on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one's in Mr. Hudson's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for outdoor boat storage and overflow parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.006 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Hudson introduces it.
The next one's in Mr. Schaefer's district. An ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for storage units and offices to be located on certain parts of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.63 acres, more or less.
Oh, Pete. You want to introduce something?
I can introduce
it. Mrs. Green introduced it.
Okay, thank you. Next one is in Mr. Vincent's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an events venue to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing 1.902 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the next one is in Mr. Riley's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily 32 units to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 8.33 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Riley, introduce it.
Mr. President, let me just check a second. My note, I just read four. My note on the front of those said that there were five, and I will look back in my agenda to see if
there was another one.
Two, Mr. Riley.
Yeah. Okay, hold it.
Should have a change of zone.
Okay, that's not one in yours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. This is the one. And this one is in Mr. Riley's district. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying being Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 8.33 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Riley, introduce it.
Thank you.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Anybody got any comments? Council member comments. If not, motion to executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
obvious. We're now in executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.